So we're live with the Going Bananas show. And the first guest, I couldn't possibly be more proud than to have Lily Paul Roncalli.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be your first guest.
Well, it's truly my honor, really. But it's just amazing to get you here. Certainly now, with all this, the world is so unpredictable and it's not easy to travel and everything. And you got here. Amazing. Fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's been such a lovely day today.
Well, that's the Europa Park way. Yeah. We are entertainers here, and that's all we want to do. We want people to come in, have a great time, and we are super proud of this.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Such a fun day.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
It's been a very exciting year, and of course, I think it's been different than we all would have imagined, but we're doing the best out of the situation.
I have to say that I'm not a big watcher of TV. In this business that we're in live entertainment, and I know what's going on, but because of the lockdown, because of the corona situation, I found myself watching you avidly every week, even preparing my dinners around it. You know, I've got to get it ready for 8 o'clock because it starts at 8:15, and I thought I've got to be there, and I followed you completely. And there's a million questions that I was asking myself watching you. You know, you've stepped from such a fantastic artistic circus world. And then you come into a different world, dance, taking you, let's say, out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, it has.
And how did you, it must have been a long time ago that you agreed to do this.
Yeah, it was last year. And I really thought it through, but I thought, even as an artist, it could only make me better to learn all these dancing skills. I mean, it's a lot of training in a short amount of time. And I think I've never learned so much in such a short period of time.
Well, your first focused desire was because you wanted to improve yourself. You wanted to learn something.
Yeah, I thought it could only improve me as a performer.
Which it certainly did. But how did you cope with the nerves? Because I've seen you perform in the circus. And you've been doing that since, 5 years old?
I've been doing it for a while, yeah, right. 5, 6.
But then when you do that, and then you go into, you haven't got years and years and years of experience behind dance, and then you're going to be live on TV. And I'm thinking, because I've had this experience in live entertainment, mm-hmm. performance, but I'm always super well prepared, as you are. You've got years of experience. You've done all the mistakes that you're going to do. So you know to watch for. But then now you're working with a partner that you don't know really well. And I just wonder how you actually cope with that.
At the start, it was hard because I'm used to practicing years and years before going on stage. And we got there and it was like, well, you have 4 days and you're going to be live on TV in front of 5 million people. So I was a bit like, and I kept thinking, that's not enough time. I'm not ready until the last second. So that was really a challenge to be happy with what you can do in 4 days. It can always be better.
And I think it's like an opening night, every night, every week.
Every week.
Totally. But
it's a new costume, new show, new everything.
Super impressive. You were fantastic.
Thank you so much.
You deservedly won. And great for you, great for your whole family.
They were wonderful. Very excited. It was the only thing they could do on Friday nights because the circus was closed. And we could never really watch it the years before because the shows always start at 8.
Right.
So you're always working. So it's the first time we really watched the whole show.
Yeah, in some way that created a lot more attention on this show now because everyone was pretty much locked down in some way or certainly restricted movement. So I don't know what the viewing numbers were, but I imagine that it was significantly more than ever before.
I think they've been the best since the first year. Yeah.
Cool. So now you're not only a great artist, but you're a celebrity.
A little bit. I don't feel like that yet.
I was just thinking, walking around the park with you today, I was thinking I probably wouldn't have been able to walk comfortably around the park with you if you didn't have your mask on, because everyone would have stopped us. Because I saw a few people look double looking, but then with the mask, it's sort of okay. I thought, it feels like it's 50 degrees, but I think it's just over 30. And I thought, we'll get stopped on every, someone, when you were in the studio, arrived, somebody came and asked if they could have a photo taken with you.
I don't know. Yeah, I think with the mask, it's really, it's a it's kind of like a good year to win because you're like still really undercover when you're outside.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of, you got both.
How does that feel about your new celebrity because of social media is just nuts now, more so than ever. And are people watching you and gossiping about you?
I mean, it's fun on one side, but you do become more aware of what you post and you look at every detail of something.
When you look at a picture, you've got to look in the background.
In the background, what happens, you get more aware of everything around you. I think you got to be more careful. I mean, there's always people that try and find a little something.
Yeah, I heard you've got a career-ending injury, right?
Yeah, but I'm doing just fine, so I don't know.
Oh, well, you seem to be coping with that good.
Yeah.
That's another thing I thought, that I read that story, and having been in a similar art than yourself, albeit I was on ice and you were roller skating, and there's a lot of stress on your body, and I thought, we spoke about it, we touched on it about it earlier at lunch, that how many years in your life are you performing but always protecting an injury? Because at some point, your job as a contortionist as well, with you being not 150, certain huge amount of stress on your body, and I just wonder how you're coping with that.
It is. I mean, you got to take care of your body from a very young age, and of course, I go to physiotherapist and I take care of myself, and that way, I've never had big injuries, but you always have a little something. But it's nothing that serious that would stop my career now.
No, I think as I got older as an artist, I realized that the preparation time for one show is much more. I was maybe your age, maybe I took it for granted that I was invincible and nothing could happen. But certainly as you get older, it takes longer. You arrive 1 hour and 2 hours before the show just to get ready for your. And I just thought, and then somebody picks up Bill Tighting or somebody says, oh, you've got a big injury and it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, to say that the career is before an end and a show that I really love made me sick, I would never say that because that's just not reality. So I was a little upset about that. But anyways, with social media these days, it's like a positive site. You can always
defend yourself quickly,
yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. There's another thing that when I knew that you were available to come and be on the show, I was just thinking that, you know, you're obviously from the celebrated Roncalli Circus that your father created. Yeah. And I thought, when you were growing up, a tiny, tiny little girl, did you feel at some point your whole destiny is already written?
I think for me, when I was 5 or 6 years old, I went into the circus. And before that, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I seen a contortionist.
What, at 5 years old, you didn't?
Yeah,
know
yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to do. How could I? But I seen a contortionist and I was like, that's what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I started practicing from that day on. And I think it was just like I found my passion in that moment. So I never felt forced to be in that business. But what I always wanted.
Did someone, because your mother's quite tall.
Yeah.
So did they realize that you were probably going to follow your mother's height?
Yeah.
In which case, being a contortionist, I've got to say it's absolutely beautiful to see a taller artist, but the physical demand is considerably more. So did they not say when you were 5 years old, oh, I want to be a contortionist and turn myself in every, like a pretzel? And I thought, how is that going to, did nobody say, you might want to be careful with that because it's really going to hurt you?
Well, yeah, they did tell me that, but I didn't care at that time. I mean, I was still tiny.
Kids don't care.
I don't care. I'll do it. I'll be the tallest contortionist out there. And that was what I was thinking. So I really didn't.
Well, but as kids, we never think anything can happen. Yeah. We think we're going to be stars forever. Well, great that you're doing it. So you started doing the contortion.
Yes.
And then after that, you did the roller skating act.
Yeah, I started skating when I was 13, I think, yeah.
So. And how does it go with your dad being the boss, as well as the creator, as well as your dad?
Well, at the beginning, we didn't tell him that we were practicing a roller skating act. We always practiced at night, and he kept just hearing the sound of it. And he was like, what's going on in the circus at night till 2 a.m.? And we only showed him once we were done, because we knew if we would tell him before that, he wouldn't want us to do it.
You got away with that?
It's too dangerous.
You got away with that?
Yeah, I think he kind of knew at some point, but he just let us do our thing. But yeah.
So then, and then he liked it and let you do it?
Yeah, luckily.
Yeah, luckily. Well, and you're luckily still doing it?
Yeah.
You did it last winter, I know you said.
Last winter, yeah.
With your sister and your brother? Or?
Yeah, we're in four in total. I have a partner, my brother, and my sister. Yeah.
Which do you like best?
Contortion or skating? Or yeah. Contortion, it's like my true passion. I like skating, but it's just what I always wanted to do and what I always trained for.
Which is the most physically demanding?
I think contortion as well, for me.
Yeah. Are you naturally really, really stretched out, really loose, or do you have to really, really work on it all the time?
I was very flexible as a kid, but of course, as you grow older, you have to practice more and more, and you feel the difference each year in your body. You can start to. I see my warming up time gets longer.
So you know, with respect, you're gonna, you're in 10 years' time, that's gonna be a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I'll be. Well, who knows? Maybe, but I'll probably change to something different by then.
Well, there's enough chances in Roncalli Circus,
yeah,
right?
I'll find something to do.
Yeah, definitely. And how does that go? When you want to do something and then you've got your brother and you've got your sister, there's the three of you, right? Following on from your father. And how does that one, when you want to do something, maybe your sister wants to do it or your brother, and does that get complicated?
Kind of, but at the moment we kind of split ourselves. My brother is in the Apollo variety in Dusseldorf. My sister has been with the circus, and I've been doing the events and more of the PR work. So we kind of all found something that we're good at and that we really enjoy doing.
That's perfect.
So that's perfect, yeah.
So that makes your dad happy and your mum. That all the kids are happy and the business is good. I mean, Apollo's going to open soon, no?
Apollo's going to open September 4th, I believe, yeah.
And do you know how many people that you're allowed to invite into the theater?
I'm not sure, but it's not total capacity. And I know it depends on if we serve food or not. So if we don't serve food, we can, I think, have the whole Apollo. Because it's tables, so it's a bit like in the restaurant.
I've been there, I love it.
Yeah, and they're
location.
Not so close. So.
Yeah.
But if we serve food, it's different. So we're still debating on what's the better choice.
Right, and you're going to perform?
Yes, not all the time, but mostly. I had some other work things in that time already, but I'll be there most of the time.
So with your success now from Let's Dance, do you think that will take you into different things out away from your performance? Will you start doing different artistic endeavors or business endeavors or modeling or... You have the world is your oyster. Right now, there's everything. Everything's open for you.
Well, I've started a couple of different projects, and I'm really excited for them. They're still a little secret, but it's been fun.
It's a whole different way.
It's only us here.
You can tell me. Nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going to know. No, but we just came back from shooting the Austrian Haute Couture Award. So that one's been a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a different experience to be in a big dress and do contortion in that big gown.
Oh, you were.
I was doing all sorts, and in the pool, it was a lot of fun. It was a new experience. I never really did like that sort of professional photo shooting, but it was something new, fun.
Great, really cool. What's a day in the life of Lily like?
It really depends on the day, but I try to start my day with a workout, because I feel like if I don't do it in the morning, I won't do it.
Before breakfast?
So, yeah.
Yeah?
I like doing it first things first, so.
And then where are you going? Are you going to a gym, or are you doing it in your house, or?
I used to go to the gym, but after lockdown, I just started enjoying home workouts more.
And somebody helped you with that, or you did that yourself? Because you know what you need to do to make the parts of your body stronger or centered or something like that. But
yeah.
Did somebody help? Do you have people that help you with that?
Yeah, it's a bit of a combination of what I prefer. Like oftentimes when we're on a show with dancers, a lot of them are Pilates instructors. So we do like little workouts together. So I kind of put together my favorite workouts.
You haven't done a workout for the people to watch?
No, not yet.
YouTube workout with Lily?
I should try, maybe. Maybe in the future.
Hey, I mean, you carry yourself beautifully. You're obviously a great artist. You've got great control over your body. I think a lot of people, men and women, would be interested to know how you keep that, you know, and how you keep stay like that.
Yeah.
And are you a fanatic eater, like salads only, or?
No, I love to eat, and that's why I have to work out every day too. That's one of the reasons. I really enjoy food.
Yeah.
My mom's a great cook, and when you travel around,
she's Italian mama.
Yeah.
Of course, she's a great cook.
I eat a lot of pasta and a lot of carbs, so yeah, I do have to take care.
A lot of garlic?
Not so much.
No?
No. But yeah, a lot of good stuff.
Where's your mom from in Italy?
My mom's from Verona.
Oh, beautiful.
Very beautiful, yeah. Well, a very close village, but yeah.
Verona's a beautiful city. Yeah. But then I was thinking, your father's from Austria, your mom's from Verona.
Yeah.
What language are you thinking in?
It really depends on who I talk to. Like the last conversation I had, that's just the language I keep thinking in.
But you speak only Italian with your mom?
I only speak Italian with my mom and only German with my dad.
And what do you speak? What are the kids speaking? You and
to
your sister and your brother?
It depends.
What do you speak when you're really mad?
Italian.
Of course.
But it depends. When we're in Germany, we speak a lot of Italian. And then when we're in Italy, we speak German. It's fun. You can always talk about what you want and your surrounding.
Secret language a little bit.
A little
bit. Well, Italian, there's a few people that speak understand Italian. How was it growing up on... Because I don't know, and I'm sure on the Going Bananas, the Going Bananas show, we're interested. How was it when you grew up in a circus? And you're basically on the road how many months a year?
10 months a year.
And how's that with education, looking, performing, training for your performance, and staying with the structure, the educational structure?
I had a private teacher, mm-hmm. so she would travel with me everywhere, and then I had online lessons. So it was a bit of both, because of course one teacher can cover all the subjects, but yeah.
And your sister and your brother also, but they're different ages, so...
Yeah, well, no, they went to a normal school because they didn't have that online system back in the day.
Right.
So they had to go to a normal school. So they started performing much later than I did due to that.
Do you think that the focus of education, you lost something because that you're not with everyone in a school structure, or you think that it can be just as productive doing it on the road, basically?
I think it's way more productive because I didn't have to wait for somebody else to get something. I could always work at my own pace, so that was great. I never had to, like, sometimes you sit in class and you're like dreaming about something else, and I couldn't really do it because I had someone next to me sitting there and be like, no, you're gonna finish
driving
that now.
You.
Yeah, and I couldn't cheat because
right.
Yeah.
You only cheat Nobody yourself.
I couldn't copy from anybody else, so
right.
I had to do all the work myself. So.
And now you're. It seems stupid that I'm saying that. Now you're older, but now you're an established, very, really high level artist. How is it when? Do you have any communication with younger people that want to do what you want and look at you and go, oh, do what you want to do, and do you have any do you help anyone, or
well, it's hard because for a really long time I was the youngest at the circus, and once I left then younger people started coming, so I never really had so many kids around me. But it's a lot of fun when kids do come to practice with them, but of course I can never stay that long to practice
right.
each day. But I used to practice with a circus artist, and I asked her for help, so I'm very happy when somebody asks me, because I remember how I looked up to the artist that helped me.
Right, you've had some of the best artists in the world performing with
yeah.
you, and then you can call on fantastic international
yeah.
artists from all over the world to help you perfect every part. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Really good. Wow, great. It makes the whole Roncalli product great. I got to say that the Roncalli Circus is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Love it, how it's really creative. I think when your father made the announcement that you're going to take the animals out
mm-hmm.
of the circus, I thought, you know, Roncalli are totally going to survive this because they are such a creative circus. And it wasn't necessarily their strength, the animals. The
no,
experience of Roncalli is just fantastic. That you your attention to detail on whether it's the tent or coming in and, mm-hmm. and all the whole environment and the costumes and really great. I'm really excited every time I come and see the Roncalli Circus. Really great job.
Thank you very much.
So this is completely out of when you're performing, what do you want? What do you want somebody to take from your performance? Do you get deep and sort of tell a story? And I mean, how do you create it? You've got a blank piece of paper and you say, okay, I'm going to perform next season. And how does the creative process start for you?
I don't really tell a story, but for me, the way that I was so fascinated about someone who did contortion as a child, I always want an act that is child friendly and that they're going to love and they're going to dream about when the show finishes for them. So of course, kids love very sparkly things. So I got a cat suit made by Swarovski, which has so many
very nice
crystals on it. And just when I walk in, the kids are just like, wow. And that was really important to me to get to them.
I saw you years ago, yeah. I think, in that costume. And I was just like, actually, I couldn't believe it. I was quite sitting at the back and I just thought, that is the most beautiful lady I've ever seen. But I wasn't sure whether you were real. It was just like, wow.
It's
and
very,
it was all
sparkly,
very sparkly. Sparkly, completely sparkly. And I couldn't really see your face very well. And I just thought that you looked like it's like a porcelain doll or something. And then I thought, wow. And then I didn't come backstage, so I never saw you. And I thought, well, did she exist or not? No. But I did remember, we talked about it earlier. We toured around the park a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think it's something like 8 years.
Must be 8 years ago. It's the last time I've been here. I just realized how long it's been.
Yeah. It's changed a lot now.
It has. Well,
if you come in through the gates, is it okay? We've just given you a whirlwind visit from from the open, from the first ride. You must have a favorite.
A favorite roller coaster.
A favorite ride. What would you do first here?
I think my all-time favorite is still Silver Star.
Silver Star.
I think it's the first time I came. It was like, I was fascinated by it. So it was the first thing I wanted to do when I got back because I remembered it as well.
Yes, yeah, so when somebody mentioned Silver Star, your eyes lit up and said, yeah, we have to do that.
We have to do that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, no, I don't want to do that. And it was like, no, we are doing
that. You did it twice too. Yeah.
No discussion. Yeah, I want to do it at the front and the back. Yeah, I was surprised that last little kick. It's just really, really, really cool. So what's next for Lily? Where do you want to be in 5 years?
God, 5 years.
Where do you dream? Because now, like I said, the world is your oyster. You have all these people which are not only circus lovers, not only performing arts lovers. Now you're in the mainstream world. Mm. And there's this whole social media exposure, which is very easy, can be abusive, can be positive, negative, either way. But where do you, are you still in Roncalli performing in 5 years' time, or are you?
I hope. I mean, 5 years ago, I would have never imagined my career to go this way, and I couldn't be happier with it. So I really don't know what to expect. I feel like it can always... It never happens what you imagine,
and that's so the beauty much. Of life,
yeah,
right?
I think
how
yeah.
cool is that? That the worst I can't imagine it to be any worse than if it's predictable.
No, but I dreamed about my future, but it's much better than what I always wished for. So I'm so grateful that everything has turned out the way it did.
I mean, I think that's what's cool about our business. Honestly, I mean, obviously, I was. In some way similar to you growing up in the artistic world and then changing from the artistic world into the sort of management side. But how great is it that when we get the opportunity to do something different? And you are super talented, super beautiful. The world is open that you can say, hey, I want to try that and maybe it would take you off in a completely different direction.
It's been really great, and I hope it continues to go like that. And of course, there's many changes that have to be made in the next couple of years, and just see where it's going to take me. But
You're worried about the... I mean, we are going to survive it, but it will take a little time for the entertainment world to get over the corona situation, though.
I think it's going to be the last sort of business that's going to recover from it, because we just live from audience and people being close to each other and the whole experience.
That's what we want. Yeah.
So even if you build a bigger tent and you have less people, it's not the same, I think, for the performer, but also for the audience. I think you really enjoy the energy. It's much stronger when the people are more compact. And I mean, we're going to have to find a way to.
But I think that we are, like you say, I think we're going to have to be creative and find a way how we can still entertain the guest, still share an emotion with them. Mm-hmm. Which is what we're all about here, giving them an emotion, whether it's a roller coaster, whether it's a high speed roller coaster, or the Food Loop restaurant, which is a great experience. It's not thrilling, but it's hugely fun. And I think in the show business, whether it's the variety business, which is what your Apollo is about, and the circus, I think certainly we're going to have to address those concerns and. I think your whole family and your father are super creative, and I think you will succeed. But it's not going to be easy for the next year or so to earn the trust of our people, our guests again. That we because they, I mean, they're circus diehard people everywhere. They just love it. Germany loves their circuses. But now you've got to find another way how to give them. The circus experience in a different way. You've lost the animals, and now we've got to find another way.
I mean, we started with the drive-in shows this summer, but it is a different experience. It's strange if you don't see the audience. It was nice, but I don't think that's the solution we're going to go for. We tried, but we're going to have to keep thinking.
I heard you did that. I was totally respectful for you to try. I know that maybe the finance, you didn't make a lot of revenue from that, but you're trying to entertain your guest. And I think the people trust you to entertain, to do what you can for the guest, which will be the reason why you last for such a long time. Yeah. So if you take circus and variety out of your, if you go to, say, London or New York and you want to go and see a big show, Vegas or something like that, what's the show you want to see? What's your style of something that you would like?
It really depends on the place. Last time I've been to New York, I've seen the Lion King. It's my favorite Disney movie. So I had to see it. It was lovely. It was totally different. It's nice to see a show that's not so related to circus or anything like that. You always get new ideas. I think that's where your inspiration should come from, and maybe not from other circus shows, but from a whole different place.
I think we can, in our business, we can get inspired by seeing a picture, not necessarily a movie or a show or something. So you're into the musicals, the Disney musical?
Not all of them. I only went to watch that one. Because as a child, it was like my favorite movie, so I was like, now that I'm here, I want to watch it.
When you're performing all the time, you don't get the chance to travel and see other stuff.
That's the thing,
That's the thing.
And once you do, it's all about. We went to Vegas, I think, 2 years ago. Yeah. We stayed 2 weeks, and I think we watched over 18 shows. So we were watching more than a show a day, and it was like all about that. And at the end of the holiday, it doesn't even feel like a holiday because you're still in your environment.
That's it. The problem is, I've been to Vegas and I've seen 3 shows in one day. And I can't remember what I saw. Sometimes I even took a pen and paper and wrote it down to remind myself something that was very inspirational.
You mix them up.
You mix them up. I'm a little bit like that when I watch movies. If I watch 2 great movies in a row, I've lost it.
Are you watching a new movie out of the two?
Yeah, exactly. Are you a movie buff?
I do, but I can't watch them late at night. I always fall asleep, so it takes me like a couple of days to finish a movie.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. And what language are you watching them in?
I try to watch them in the original language. So if it's an English movie, in English. If it's a German movie, in German. Italian, in Italian. So.
Did you learn your English in school, or have you been somewhere to intensively study it?
Mostly in school. And last year I went to New York for, I think, 2 months and did like an intense English course there.
To New York?
Yeah. But it was more the experience than I spoke English before that, too. I think I wanted to stay there for a while longer.
You didn't perform there?
No. I wanted to have, like, the whole study experience.
Very cool.
I was, like, in a campus and...
Oh.
Yeah. Stayed in a dorm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did they call it? Frat parties or something? Did you go to any of those?
No, I haven't. Because it was, like, an all-international...
Do you go to parties?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, lately, not so much, but I hope soon.
Maybe not before Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Hopefully. But nice Christmas party, we'll see.
Are you a dancer or are you a drinker?
I think before Let's Dance, I was more of like drinking at the bar, and maybe now I'll be more of the dancer. I think I miss it more, dancing.
Yeah. So. Because you got great timing. You're cheating. You're cheating. You're dancing actually with the music and totally in time. And everyone's like, oh God.
No, that one.
Yeah. No, I'm standing at the bar. I'm just watching, being a little more reserved, watching everyone.
It's fun, yeah.
When I thought about this show and you were coming on it, I'm sort of quite interested and that I want to get to know you. And it's not just, of course, I'm interested in Lily, the Roncalli performer, mm-hmm. fantastic. But then how do you feel, how do you feel about yourself? Do you think you should work harder or do you have any, I just want to know you, mm-hmm. Which I feel I'm getting to know you because I feel the way that you think on things. And then how do you feel about yourself? How do you rate yourself of like, well, I'm pretty good at that and I could work harder on that?
I think most of the times I feel like I could work harder and I think you can always be better. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should never settle down and feel like, oh, I'm doing good. I think you can always work on something. And there's so much to do. Like, I would really like to learn an instrument. My brother plays guitar and my dad plays the drums. So that's something I might want to do in the near future.
It's easy for somebody listening to this and say, well, Lily has everything in her favor, that she's very talented. She has a great discipline, a work ethic. She's beautiful. She goes on a dance competition and it's out of her comfort zone. She wins it and everyone loves you. But what's your motivation to go further? Because you've got everything. Somebody might say, she has everything.
But I mean, I'm only 22, so I feel like there's still so much ahead of me. And I know that I've been very blessed in the family that I've grown up with and all the possibilities I had in my childhood. But now it's like time to work myself. Like, I can't always rely on my family doing everything for me or... You put yourself out there and prove that you can do something by yourself too.
Like your father's changed the Roncalli over the years, we all have to adapt. What do they say? Adapt or die, no?
Yeah.
Change or die.
Change or die.
No, that's the one thing sure in this life. And look at this situation going on right now. That we have to find new ways. But you want to work hard on yourself as a contortionist, as a different art? Would you like to do a different performance in the circus?
I would love to do aerial one day. So that's something I hope to do in the near future.
You're okay up there?
I was really scared of heights when I was little, but I feel like I got over it. So I feel like I might start
soon. Your dad will never let you do it.
My sister does it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. He did. I mean, I shouldn't have said that because circus people, they know that's part of life. Circus life, it's you have to go up in the air and 10 meters high. Mm-hmm. I get quite nervous when I watch any aerial act. It just makes me a little nervous. Hugely exciting. Yes. But the kids might be just screaming and loving it, and I'm the one that's probably got my eyes down just looking out. I was with your father, actually. I was on the jury of a circus festival in Moscow a couple of years ago with your father, actually.
Oh, wow.
And we were watching some just amazing acts. So yeah, your father, I think, was looking for some great acts for you guys, and I was trying to bring some of those acts to us. A little bit competitive, but we supported each other.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. So your father's going to let you go up in the air and do a death-defying act?
I think so. Well, I don't want to do anything too dangerous, but for example, I would really like to do the trapeze act. I feel like there's a lot of ring acts out there now and other things, and I feel like the traditional trapeze act to me is still the most beautiful, and it's a picture that you think about when you think about the circus. It's like,
for me, that's the first act. If you said circus, that would be the first act that I think of, flying trapeze. Yeah. And you want to do that? You want to do that?
Well, I would like to do more of like maybe a bit of contortion in it, maybe not too crazy. I mean, but start with that, and then maybe see where it can bring me.
What's your biggest fear? Do you have fears? Do you get nervous or worried or insecure or?
Fears. I really hate spiders.
Yeah.
I can't be in the same room as a spider. I'll freak out.
So you're the one screaming, telling some big guy, come in and get this spider out of my room.
I do panic, yeah.
Yeah?
That's like the worst part. If I'm ever alone somewhere and there's a spider, it's just the worst. Of course, when you're working by yourself, you're in some hotel rooms by yourself, and that's like my biggest fear. If I see a spider there, I'm like, I can't survive. Can't do this.
And does any of the circus arts, does that scare you? Because it is quite dangerous. You know, wheel of death, high wire, flying trapeze, but... Hopefully you'll do it with a net when you do it. But you've grown up with circus, so I can't even think that you don't, that's in your blood. It's just, it's not for everyone that's listening to this show. It's not, circus is a great thing that it's in everyone's DNA a little bit to go as a guest. But I've always appreciated yourself, your family, or circus people to support this, which is something that most of the people can't really appreciate.
I mean, fear, I think, even in the circus, I mean, I think my mentality is even on the street, something can happen if you cross the road. So I'm not really scared to go back to that question, but yeah. I mean, something could happen anywhere, so
like, you should just
live your
here.
Life. Nothing's going to happen here, in here, no.
No, we're good.
Yeah. You know what I mean. I mean, if you start living with too many fears, I think you just don't enjoy it.
Maybe the fear of the social media. Like somebody said, you've got the smallest little injury or something, or actually said that it's making you ill or something.
Yeah. Well, fear, I think it's a big word for that. To me, it felt ridiculous when I read it, because it was just something I never said, and I was a little mad, but got over it after a day. But yeah, it's not something that scares me, because I feel like these days you can always.
Did you take advice, or did you think how am I going to defend myself from this? And did you think, well, this is going to be part of my new life? You know, because you've created all of this extra attention on you now, and then they make a story which you obviously know it's nothing. And I shouldn't even worry about it. But then, you know, many of your fans could possibly believe it. But did you think, how am I going to answer that question? And did you, were you advised of how best to, you know, you could have contacted them?
Maybe.
Which is probably why they did it. They would have loved you to do that.
Well, I think every 22-year-old, the first thing you do is go on social media, and it's so natural for young people to say your opinion and what you think or your statement on social media. That was the first thing that came into my mind.
But it can be taken out of context so easily. That's the trouble.
But once you write it yourself, it's that little, you know, they can't really, because it's written and it's what you said.
Yeah.
So to me, that was like the safest thing, because everyone could go back and read what I said about it.
Well, like you said, they didn't particularly like it, because it came out, it was, the whole story was squashed immediately because you said, hey, I'm fine.
I mean, to me, the first thing I thought, of course, as an artist, I was like, that was something that could even be career damaging. And that's why I thought, no, I want to defend myself and say, look, I'm fine. Because if you say, I said my career is ending, it's not the best publicity for myself.
No,
and, I mean, that's what you work for all your life, and then.
Well, yeah. and you don't want that. I mean, you just want to care about yourself, your performance, and come and enjoy. Because as much as the people enjoy watching you, I do honestly believe you have as much fun as they do by performing for them. So it's a quid pro quo kind of thing. All of your years of work and dedication and work is, and then eventually you're just having fun, right?
Yep.
Because that's what gives you pleasure. It's not a job. Somehow I don't feel, my family, I was in the artistic world for many years. I don't think anyone thought I ever worked a day in my life because they just said, you're just having fun. It takes a lot of rehearsal and a lot of practice. And there's a lot of ups and downs. You must have experienced, you must have felt that yourself, where loads of times you thought this isn't going to work.
There's moments where you're like, that can't work. Or even, I think, one thing that makes circus people so different from people that have a normal job, a circus person would never say, oh, I call in sick. I think we all know how performers work no matter what. And I didn't want to come off as somebody who complained about something, because I know, like, the mentality of my grandfather, and everyone is always keep going. And there's been people with 40 fever performing, and I feel like that's something that's so in your head when you grow up in a circus family, is that you always do everything to be on stage.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think that helps you in whatever you do for the rest of your life, whether you branch out and you do different projects. Yeah. I think that work ethic and that discipline will help you to succeed in anything else. Because, like you say, you are never going to quit. Yeah. And never just say, I'm staying in bed today, I'm not going to train. I'm going to do it every day. Mm-hmm. Push, always get better. And I think a lot of international high-level sports people, which you can compare in some loose way, mm-hmm. To circus artists, they have a different work ethic. And what they have, not necessarily with yourself, a lot of sport high athletes, they've sort of got in some cases a secondary education, because they had to at some point choose, where am I really, really going to focus? And of course you can't study 12 hours a day when you're a gymnast or an athlete. But they do have a different discipline to that. And like you say, they're never going to call in sick. We're not allowed to do that.
No.
One of my friends, an artist, said he was always late for check-in. You know, you've got to be there 30 minutes or an hour before the show. And he said, and he's always late. And he's, if I'm late, it's because I'm dead and I'm not coming. And never missed a show. Have you ever missed a show?
No, I've never missed a show.
How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, there's, of course, if you do an aerial act and it's something super dangerous and you're not feeling well, it's understandable that you wouldn't work. But for me, I never felt like I was at that point that I just couldn't do it. I always felt like I could still perform. And my acts are not as dangerous. So I think it really depends maybe a little bit on what your profession is.
Going back to the Let's Dance thing. Going back to the Let's Dance thing, because... I couldn't even guess how many thousands of shows you've done for Roncalli. But Let's Dance is different. It's live TV. There's not 1 second negotiable. You're going out right now. And with very little preparation. Didn't you, what were you thinking? I thought about that while I was thinking that, and they said, you know, that we're going to commercial or something. And Lily, okay, and I know you've got that one minute sort of pre-intro thing where they're talking about you. And I thought, because it's different, it's not like a gala night at Roncalli or, you know, one of your shows. It's not the same at all.
No, it's not.
Live TV is complete. And you had no guests, right? You had no audience.
That really changed the whole thing. I felt so comfortable the first couple of shows with the audience. It was even like kind of like round, and I felt like, oh, this is like the circus. And the one mistake I kept doing is I kept looking at the audience instead of the cameras. So they were like, no, we're in TV. You gotta look into the camera, not like look at the people and be all nice. And that's something I had to learn. But then, the audience.
Yeah, it's completely different.
So strange.
Because when I'm watching it on TV, as with all the other 5 million people, you have to be your job is to give me your lifetime best performance, or at least give me that impression. Yeah. And if you don't feel good or something, you still have to give it to a little camera where you have no feedback, no applause, no nothing. Must have been really weird to just go crazy, going bananas.
Yeah, going bananas.
What did you say?
Going bananas.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you say that one more
time?
Going
bananas.
Thank you. No, but I mean... But so you're going bananas on Let's Dance, but no feedback at all. You know, it's the same for us when we do a rehearsal and there's nobody there. We try to do the same, but it's not 100% the same. You don't empty your soul. But there you have to empty your soul.
It's tough. But I have to say, all of our competitors, we really try to support each other and try to make the applause at least what we could do, even if we were only 4 or 8 people.
Massimo a lifelong friend now?
I think so, yeah. I really got along well. Of course, we have a lot of different jobs and you're all over the place, but...
It seemed like you really gelled, totally. Yeah. I loved... His performance was fantastic.
He's amazing.
Stature, really fantastic stature and character that he gave, but it gelled really good. Yeah. But then each week a different... You must have, obviously there were some musics that you thought, oh, this is not going to be cool.
You got to really get used to it. And what I liked about the music that I got was it was really different each week.
Yeah, totally.
So I got to play a different role each and every week. So I really liked that. And we had Lollipop, and then we had some French dramatic music, and then we had something Spanish and more passionate, so it was always different.
I thought, when you went, obviously, in some way Latin, I thought, well, it's totally you, because you're steaming with fire and passion, mm-hmm. But then when it was really cute, I thought, are you still going to feel in your comfort zone being cute, because you're just a very,
so let's
different. Say... Yeah, it's a different style.
Different style, yeah.
But do you feel less confident?
Well, maybe not less confident, but it was definitely something I had to practice harder. Like, we would really practice like it would be in this show. Like, you know, sometimes when you do rehearsals, you're just like doing the steps or doing the dance, but your face and your emotions are not really there. But with the more fun dances, I really had to do it all rehearsal long.
Are you the whole time you were performing, did you feel like it was a competition?
No. I only felt it like the last two shows.
Yeah?
That's when the pressure gets higher, and that's when you're like...
Oh,
But before that, it was...
Semi-final and final, I think. Yeah. You couldn't get it more tense, no? It was really...
Even the rehearsal day before, I messed up everything. I banged my head against Massimo's. He almost fainted. He felt...
Saw that.
Yeah, we couldn't do the rehearsal that day, so that's when my nerves really started kicking in.
But are you... By nature, are you a competitive person?
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
Yeah?
I do like a little bit of competition, yeah. I think it pushes you.
With your brother and sister, were you playing cards or doing something you wanted to be the one to win?
Yeah, kind of. I always wanted to win, yeah.
Well, I think that's a trait of an artist now, somehow, no? Because you do judge yourself against your peers and other people. You know, you want to be more beautiful, you want to be more flexible, you want to get the biggest applause. That's what we do.
But it's still so different, I think, from the dancing to the circus. I feel like in the circus, everyone has their own act and you don't really compare each other so much. I think in dance competition, I think that's much harder. I'm not sure, but I feel like... Because you're there doing the same exact dance maybe that night, and you would never be in a show and have like 3 contortionists.
No.
So you don't really, so the comparison's much bigger there, I think.
Yeah, but you also want the best applause.
That's true, yeah.
Of course.
You gotta
that's
be
what puts you on stage.
Yeah.
You want, it's a little competitive in the way that, you want everyone to say, of course, every show I ever did, I wanted somebody to say I was the best thing in the show. Simple as that. And of course, you want everyone to say you were fantastic. So when you're dancing, you must have felt this, we're better than them, or we've got to beat them. because there's there was a lot riding on it somehow. It was, yeah. Somehow we wanted to, you wanted to win. You didn't want to come second.
Actually, I didn't. Winning was not my main goal. I was like, I'm going to be the best I can be. I want to put everything in there.
As long as you win.
Really winning. I really wanted to get to the final. I won't lie, because that's when you get to do your freestyle and all the dances. And then I feel like you completed the whole experience if you got till there.
Don't people say it doesn't matter whether you win or lose? It doesn't matter whether you win or lose, as long as you win.
You would love to win, but I'd rather not win and be the best I could have been than won and messed it up. I feel like for my feeling, it would have made me more happy to know. You know what I mean? If I would have messed up everything and I would have known, oh, I was the worst that night, how could I win?
No, I've always...
But that was like the way it turned out was perfect.
I've always thought if I've prepared well and I've done everything I can and I don't win, I'm sort of okay with it. Yeah. But I'm not sure whether I've ever just been lying to myself about that the whole time. Because you want to win. The whole competitor thing, whether you play cards or something, and it was a competition, you're the winner. You're the champion. Yeah. So it may be easy to say. Had you come second, you might think...
But don't you feel like you'd rather be second, but knowing you've done the best that you can, than win and be like, that was my worst performance ever, but I won, and it doesn't feel fair?
I don't know.
Well, it wasn't... I was lucky enough that it all turned out how I wanted, but I was... My main goal was...
Germany won the World Cup football, right?
I think a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Who came second?
I don't know. I know I really wanted to win. I would lie if I would not.
There you go.
But it wasn't my main goal from when I got into the show. It wasn't
That's
like
the trouble. I think performance and sport, they do have a little bit that it's competitive. You want to be the best. You want the biggest applause. And whether it's Let's Dance, which is not really, it's a competition. It was presented. You know, I'm sure everyone was sitting at home. I told you, I saw my old... 70-year-old guy that does the ice at in the ice show here, and I told him I was going to meet you, and he's like, "Yeah, she didn't win because of her dad. She won because she was the best. She's gorgeous. She trained hardest, and she was great." And he was totally in the competition. He was totally like this. I have got to call him as soon as you leave to check because he's very interested in your injury. Is it life threatening or is it career threatening? I mean, he will probably, if you get a message from him, it's because I gave him your number because he's a nutcase. And he's totally, but he is Joe Public. He's Joe Public and he's watching. It was a competition. And he was very, very insistent that you deserved that and you won it outright. And had you not won, he would have been really upset. And he doesn't know you. And he doesn't know that any relationship between yourself and Europa Park, which is a really long relationship. As I said, we walked around Europa Park years ago. And do you know the history? Do you appreciate the history that your father created, Roncalli, the same time as Europa Park?
It's wonderful. I think both have grown into such beautiful places that let people dream and distract from their everyday life. I think that's what the two have in common.
And it's amazing, though. Yeah. Two massive success stories, family-owned.
Yeah.
You with your family, us with the Mac family. Amazing. We're totally... okay, you're part of the owning family. And I appreciate maybe that you have... a lot of stress like that because you have a lot of people working for Roncalli. How many people are working for Roncalli?
250.
So all these people are working for their family, they're supporting their families, and then there's a snowball effect of how many people that the Roncalli support. You know, there's all the cities you go to, which are obviously supporting the local income of the traveling and all that stuff. Do you feel a sense of responsibility of... You know, circus will change. Circus has gone through some changes, as we spoke about. You're on the winning side of it because I think your concentration is creation rather than just simply traditional circus. But do you feel like a little bit of self-responsibility looking at your sister and your brother saying, we've got to get this right because it's not just us and it's not maybe sometimes a financial decision. It's a human decision because you're supporting so many people. In each city, employees, you worried about that?
I mean, of course, it's a huge responsibility, and with life, I would say I'm not scared of the future and what happens when we take the business in our own hands. And I can't tell you if it's going to work out perfectly, but I know that we're going to do the best that we can to keep our little world alive. And I think circus, that's why people always say circus family. You really grow into that kind of family. And people have been working for Uncali for over 40 years.
How great is that?
It's amazing. That they still want to stay with us, I think that tells it all.
Well, it's because you care about your people. As we do here, we've got workers that are here since the first day, or even before the first day in the building. It's wonderful when you have people like that. But we're going to go through changes. You're going to go through changes now with immediate changes, as in with the corona situation. And I would suspect we will go through some creative changes over the next 10 years. When you think how circus changed in the last 10 years, it's gone very different now. And I see a lot coming in the future, which, and you're the ones that have to, well, you did the hologram.
Yeah.
Amazing. Everywhere. I was in America, in some weird city in America, and someone said to me, "Hey, I saw somebody did a hologram in a circus in Germany." Amazing how far reach that is.
Definitely.
And somebody that's not connected to the artistic world. And it just totally amazed me that this person would know and thought, okay, maybe they didn't remember the name of the circus, but they know that someone did something pretty damn good. You know, that it was out there and creative and which is great. But then you gotta keep it going,
always be innovative. And I think the most important thing is to put the new world and the new technologies, but together with all the nostalgic things that my dad really cherished in the first years. And I think that's what people will remember when they come inside. That's when their childhood feelings come back, and that's when they feel like a kid again. And then they get inside and it's something totally new. I think that's the right mix.
Totally cool. I've met your father a few times, and he's totally inspirational. Maybe I didn't appreciate how creative he is and his attention to all the little details. Like you say, share the experience, share the emotion, which is what we're trying to do here on a daily basis on every different age group of people, as you are. And like you say, we're both, we have some synergies, you know, 45 years old, we're both there, having to find creative ways to adapt, take care of our guests, take care of ourselves, and really cool.
Awesome.
Lily Paul Roncalli, thank you very much for coming on the
Going Banana Show. God, I just had to think about that way too long.
You nearly said Blue Banana.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking.
No, but that's really cool. You know, yeah. I can't be more happy than having you as the first guest. I'm really, really grateful that you're here, and it's
thank you so much.
Fantastic. And I hope the people that listen, they just go, you know what, she's a really, really nice lady, and not just what we see on the TV, that you've got a heart and you've got a mind and you're very creative and super talented.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
It's lovely being here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.